sunscreen at all. More news at usaradio.com. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put it in.
But, Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. So I was driving around today, going to the gas station to fill up my car, my relatively energy-efficient, I should say, imported Japanese car. And I'm sandwiched between two SUVs in front of me and a pickup truck behind as I'm waiting at the gas station, hoping to find a price under $3. It seemed that gas was $2.99 and 9 cents. And as prices have gone through the roof, partly, of course, due to the hurricane hitting New Orleans, it seems that most of our refineries are concentrated in a place that is on the Gulf Coast and therefore likely to get hurricanes, probably not the smartest idea. I was also aware that the war in Iraq apparently didn't lower oil prices any. And what interests me as I'm sitting between SUVs is I'm thinking, you know, I remember back in the 90s and 80s when cars were a lot smaller and a lot more fuel efficient. Why, I'm even old enough to remember, as a kid, Jimmy Carter, who began first really promoting fuel efficiency standards. And yet, what happened to those? Where have those gone? Is the recent energy bill passed by Congress any solution? Does it help us in fuel efficiency or in alternative energy sources? Well, to answer these questions, I've invited as my guest Dr. Dan Lashoff. He's the science director of the Natural Resources Defense Council to try to find out why gas prices are so high and what we can do about it. And what's interesting to me, before I bring Dr. Lashoff on the air, is how conservatives address the problem. As usual, they're all for very, very short-term solutions. Go and take what little oil is in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. That might feed the United States for 9 months. It doesn't matter that only 2% of the world's oil is owned by or controlled by the United States and some two-thirds, 66%, in the Mideast. Yes, let's destroy the last refuge in America, last wildlife refuge, and get that last 9 months of oil. Why? Well, Bill Hitt wrote on my blog, he's a conservative listener, and I think he describes exactly what conservatives think about oil. And I got to give Bill Hitt credit, because he's very honest. There are some conservatives that actually claim the war in Iraq had nothing to do with oil. But honest conservatives, like honest liberals, realize that the war was all about oil. There's a reason why we're in Iraq and not in Liberia or Sudan, where there are far, far worse human rights violations than anything Saddam Hussein did. Here's what Bill Hitt writes on today's blog. Bill writes, "Why do we need energy? What natural resource is most needed to run this country? I'll tell you. Oil. 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 Get the picture? We need oil. We use it in the products that we make. Without it, our entire transportation comes to a halt. Oil heats our homes. The roads that we travel on are made of oil. Stop backstabbing President Bush's search for oil reserves, Bill Hitt writes. The whole world would love to have what we have. Will China not want oil? Stop opposing this country's search for oil. There's one alternative. Stop driving your car. Would you do that? Start walking or ride a bike? Can you do that? The answer is no. So stop complaining and trying to get public recognition and start helping and supporting our government. Try it. It won't hurt a bit. That's what Bill writes on today's blog. Bill seems to believe that we can never, ever get off of oil. And he seems to believe that, in fact, when oil runs out, because, folks, it is not a renewable resource, there are no more dinosaurs there to create it, our economy will run to a halt. We're living on borrowed time. Let's use it up, have it as fully as we can, and then in 30 years, the economy will ground to a halt. Hey, Bill, how about considering hybrids or fuel cells or even the fact that there are cars that can run on soybeans? How about trying to get away from oil? That's a question Republicans never like to answer. But I will ask it of my guest. Again, he's Dr. Dan Lashoff, the Science Director of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Dr. Lashoff, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, now, Bill Hitt, the conservative who writes on my blog, seems to think that that's it. It's oil or nothing, and we like to drive our cars, and unless Americans are ready to give up driving, we're dependent on oil and we need to get out of the president's way. Is he right or wrong?
Well, we certainly are dangerously dependent on oil today, and if we cut off the supply immediately, we'd have obviously very serious problems. But we have choices, and we have much better technology that we can use that can drastically reduce and over time eliminate our dependence on oil. And you hinted at some of those things. The most important, fastest and cheapest way to reduce our oil demand is to become much more efficient in how we use it by putting better technology in our cars and trucks and SUVs. Hybrid technology is certainly the most advanced, but there's other technologies that can be applied short of hybrids that can make significant improvements to the entire vehicle fleet. And then we need to develop real alternatives to oil. Drilling in our last pristine wildlife refuges is not going to get us off of oil. Going adventuring in the Middle East only increases our entanglement and dependence on oil. We need to develop real alternatives, and I think the most promising one is energy from biofuels. There is a small industry now of biodiesel and ethanol currently made from corn, but we need to diversify the way in which we make fuel from crops so that we can get energy from a wider variety of things, including agricultural waste, which could be converted into a fuel.
Dr. Lashoff, I have to interrupt you because we're going to a quick break, but I'll give you a lot more time when we get back. If you want to join in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Do you know what women want? If you're losing your hair, here are two things guaranteed to turn them off: a toupee or that hairsprayed comb-over look. But you hate your hair loss and you want it to change. That's where the new interactive and absolutely free DVD from Medical Hair Restoration can help. Various cures for hair loss, flood radio and TV airwaves. But the first question to consider is what has been scientifically and medically proven. Founded by Dr. Matt Levitt, Medical Hair Restoration has specialized in hair loss for over 11 years. With literally thousands of satisfied patients, you deserve to get your copy of their free DVD and find out the answers to your questions about restoring your hair to its natural, attractive condition. See the amazing before and after pictures of people who have gotten their real hair, self-esteem, and confidence back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation, just real results. You know what women want? To run their fingers through your real hair. Call 800-936-2823, 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now, 800-936-2823.
Truckers keep America on the move, and lots of times it's chiropractors who keep truckers going. Here's a benefits card for truckers with discounts of 30 to 50% from a network of thousands of doctors of chiropractic in cities and towns all across America. This same card provides savings up to 60% from dentists at home and on the road. For $11.95 a month for individuals and $19.95 for your whole family, besides savings on chiropractors and dentists, there are similar savings on prescriptions and optical services at home and on the road. Got to get braces for the kids? Why not save save 50%. This isn't insurance. These are instant savings with no paperwork to fill out. Truckers are important to us and the whole point of truckersbenefits.com. Get online now. Go to www.truckersbenefits.com for the whole story. If you're on the road, phone home and tell them to check out truckersbenefits.com from just $11.95 per month.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Let's say you're facing a New York Times crossword puzzle and it asks you to describe Bush foreign policy in one word, three letters. What would it be? That's an easy question. The answer is oil. What if it asks you to describe Bush domestic policy in one word, three letters? Well, the answer is probably oil. Oil, 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 as the conservatives, right? We are dependent on it. Like a crack addict, America needs its fix of oil. And yet, someone needs to tell the government that oil is not a renewable resource. It will run out. It is running out. And guess what? Most of it is in a very unstable part of the country, part of the world, I should say, and that is the Middle East. And yet, our entire policy, it seems, has developed around oil. Well, back in the 1970s and 80s, Jimmy Carter started a plan to wean us off of foreign oil, but today we have less fuel-efficient cars than we did back in the 80s. What's going on here? My guest is Dr. Dan Lashoff, Science Director of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Dr. Lashoff, let me start with what happened to our policy in the 1970s, begun by Jimmy Carter, to help conserve oil?
Well, right. In 1975, Congress passed our first fuel economy law, the so-called CAFE law, or corporate average fuel economy, and that almost doubled the fuel efficiency of our passenger fleet between 1975 and 1985. Of course, Detroit said it couldn't be done. We'd all be driving sub-Pinto-sized cars, and that didn't happen. They were able to put their engineers to work once the lobbyists went home, and they came up with cars that doubled our fuel efficiency. Unfortunately, after about 85, the fuel efficiency standards have simply not been increased. And the original law had two sets of standards, one for cars and one for what were called light trucks, which in 75 were basically pickup trucks, and it was only about 20% of the fleet. So what happened then in the 80s and 90s was Detroit started selling SUVs and bigger trucks, and now over half of the new cars sold are actually regulated under the more lenient standard that was supposed to be for trucks, and as a result of that, the fuel efficiency of the fleet as a whole has declined because the standards have basically stayed constant while people have shifted from more fuel-efficient cars to less efficient trucks.
So it's actually declined. In other words, we are worse off in terms of fuel efficiency now than we were 20 years ago?
That's right. The peak fuel efficiency for new vehicle sales was 1987, and it's a couple miles per gallon below that now because of this shift in the market and because of the loophole which allows SUVs and even cars. Anybody look at a PT Cruiser would say that's a car, but from the government's regulation, that's actually a truck and has to meet a more lenient standard.
Now describe this loophole for me exactly. How does it work?
Well, there's the fuel efficiency standards that we have today for cars, 27.5 miles per gallon. For trucks, 21 miles per gallon. But the definition of a truck is written in such a way that it includes not just pickup trucks, which is what it was originally intended for, but SUVs and minivans and essentially anything that the automakers can configure to meet a technical definition, such as if you can take the back seat out, then you can call it a truck, and that's how the PT Cruiser gets in.
And that's obviously, this is a political thing, right? I mean, it's not a mechanical thing. I assume Detroit and other car makers around the world could develop more fuel-efficient cars today than they did in 1987. I assume there's better technology than there was 18
years
ago.
The technology has advanced tremendously, and if it was applied across the board to all the cars, we could achieve with a fleet that looked pretty much like the fleet we have now. This isn't about driving people back into smaller cars that they may not want, but if we applied today's technology, we could have a fleet that was averaging at least 40 miles per gallon.
So the answer is, I guess, it's simply cheaper to produce a car that's less fuel efficient. Otherwise, the market would be making cars that are more fuel efficient, right? Is that fair to say?
That's right. It costs a little bit more to produce the cars with more advanced technology. For example, one way to make cars more fuel efficient would be to substitute more lighter weight materials for traditional steel, whether that's high-strength steel or aluminum or carbon fiber components in a car. And those materials cost a little bit more. If you reduce the weight of the vehicle, you could keep the size the same and the car would go further on a gallon of gas. That's just one of many examples. Another example is 4 valves per cylinder, which some car makers like Honda have basically applied to all of their vehicles now, but particularly for the trucks that are more leniently regulated, many engine designs still use the older technology that is less efficient.
Well, here's the problem as I see it, is that it's something that economists call externalities, and I'm an economics major. Basically, the problem is, and I'm sure you know this, Doctor, maybe some of our listeners don't, that the people who are bearing the burden are not the same people paying the cost. For example, we have troops in Iraq. We have almost 2,000 Americans dead, 15,000 wounded, tens of thousands of Iraqis dead. And the cost of the war in Iraq, which is fought over oil, is not reflected in our gas bills. It's reflected in higher taxes. People who conserve energy pay for the war in Iraq just like people that have gas-guzzling SUVs. So here's my proposal. We have to take a break, but I want to hear your response to this after the break. Here's my proposal. Take the cost of the war in Iraq and bring it back, tax every dollar we spend in Iraq, and put it as a gasoline tax. Put it on people who buy the gas-guzzling cars and make them pay, reflected in their SUV, the cost of our war in Iraq. I want to know if you support that proposal. And I also want to hear from listeners out there, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
The legacy of the great communicator lives on in his accomplishments and his spoken word. And now you can own a treasury of the great speeches of Ronald Wilson Reagan on DVD. We're offering 12 memorable speeches from Ronald Reagan's remarkable presidency, starting with his nomination speech all the way to his farewell to the nation in 1988. Included is his memorable speech at the Berlin Wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This DVD collection in full color is the best way to remember Ronald Reagan and share his wit, charm, and the clarity of his challenge to all Americans. Order the stirring collection of Reagan speeches for just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to www.reagancollection.com.
Order online or by mail at the address reagancollection.com.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back. Honest neoconservatives, people like Bill Hitt, who writes on my blog today, admit that it's all about oil. That's why we're in Iraq. That's why we're in the Middle East. Let's face it, North Korea has far more deadly weapons of mass destruction and a far more repressive regime than Saddam Hussein. But we're not invading North Korea, because guess what it doesn't have? It doesn't have a lot of oil. But if we're there for oil, then the question is, it seems to me, why shouldn't those Americans who use a lot of oil pay for the war? I mean, there are Americans who live in cities, who walk, who use public transportation. It seems to me that they should pay less for the war in Iraq than people who buy those gas-guzzling SUVs. Maybe it's a radical proposal, but I would put the burden on the people who are using up the resources. I'm curious to see what Dr. Lashoff, my guest today, science director of the Natural Resources Defense Council, thinks of my plan. What do you think, doctor?
Well, Mark, I think one thing we could do is certainly give people incentives to buy more fuel-efficient cars and give rebates on cars that are more fuel-efficient than average and charge a fee on the gas guzzlers to pay for the rebates. That way it's revenue neutral and it'll create a continuous incentive to make all types of cars more fuel-efficient. The other thing that we can also do and should do as well is simply raise the fuel efficiency standards for all types of cars, and in deciding what level of standard is feasible and cost-effective, we ought to incorporate the costs, the external costs, as you were talking about, of our oil dependence, both in terms of our national security and also in terms of the environment and the heat-trapping carbon dioxide that is emitted when cars burn gasoline that causes global warming. If we did that, we'd be setting standards that are much, much higher than the very lame standards that the government proposed last week. In fact, in the standards announcement, they said, okay, we're going to take into account externalities, but we're not going to count the war or any military costs at all. So they explicitly took those costs completely off the table in deciding on the fuel efficiency standards that they were going to propose.
Let me go to the phones. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Dave from Northern California, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Dr. Lashoff, I have not a clue as to what your politics are, but I think that myself, it's more than a coincidence that we have oil billionaires in our White House. I do believe our country is now being run by some sociopathic types, and they do not care what they do to our environment. They don't care really how many people get hurt as long as massive profits are reaching their pockets, them and their little cartel. So any kind of good ideas that you and Mark or I could come up with that might help change things to protect our environment or the people is to them irrelevant nonsense. That's a view I've come to. I don't like it, but it's where I'm at.
Well, Dave, we know that, for example, the recent energy bill would be a great way to see the intentions of the government. The recent energy bill gives $14.5 billion to energy companies. But does it provide for alternative energy or significant fuel efficiency standards, Dr. Lashoff?
No, it doesn't. There's a few minor incentives in there, some for making buildings more efficient and a little bit for hybrids, but the bulk of the tax money certainly goes to the energy companies. And if you look at the bill, it's really quite remarkable because it, by everybody's analysis, won't do anything to reduce our dependence on oil. It won't address global warming. It won't significantly increase our use of renewable energy to generate electricity. So, you know, three of the biggest priorities that the American people have clearly said is what they want to see in energy are just completely left out of this energy bill, which really is totally tilted towards the energy industry.
I mean, is it just Orwellian? I mean, the president calls it an energy bill. It seems like just a tax giveaway to oil companies. I mean, how does he even with a straight face call it an energy bill? What are they claiming that it can do to help us? Or are they not even making that claim?
Well, you know, they sort of say, well, this won't do anything to reduce prices in the short run, but over the long run, it might really help. And, you know, in the long run, I guess we're all dead. But the energy bill has some provisions to do research and development of technologies in the future, but nothing in it that will really ensure that those technologies get used. So they really haven't attempted to defend it. In fact, the Energy Committee in the Senate is holding a hearing next week on high oil prices. This is the committee that wrote the energy bill that was signed by the president in August. Their announcement of this hearing and talking about we need to figure out what's going on with these high energy prices, remarkably, doesn't even mention the fact that they just did an energy bill. So they know it's lame and that it's not going to address our real problems.
Well, we got to take another break, but when we come back, I want to talk about outside the United States. I happen to know, as most Americans who traveled abroad do, that cars in Europe and Japan and other industrialized nations are much smaller, much more fuel efficient than ours. And they're being produced by European countries, and the question is, why is it happening in Europe and not in the United States? If you want to call in, the toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, or you can comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back.
This is Newsbreak. Hurricane Katrina could end up being the most expensive hurricane ever to hit the United States. There are very preliminary estimates that insured losses could total $25 billion. However, the Federal Emergency Management Agency says no one has had time to work out how much damage there may be. Katrina's winds are now down to a sustained 75 miles an hour, but the experts say the storm is not over. The situation is still very dangerous. Much of New Orleans is flooded. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour is telling citizens not to return home yet. He says most people couldn't get back to their homes or businesses anyway. Barbour says there are large areas of the state, especially around the Gulf Coast, that searchers can't get into. Storm brought the oil industry in the Gulf of Mexico to a standstill. Nearly all of its oil production has been shut down. Stocks did gain some ground. The Dow was up 66 points to 10,463. More news at usaradio.com.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Yeah, nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/get live. That's Microsoft.com/get live or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
William Shatner here at the Rental Car Pickup. Excuse me, miss, how did you choose this car?
I shopped around for the best prices.
Well, now you can do that on Priceline. Shop and compare before you buy. Now you can actually select the company, car type, or say you want a minivan.
Oh, nice. I'm not even married, and you're telling me to get a minivan? You're cruel.
The new all-in-one Priceline. Shop, compare, save.
Right now, Priceline is having a huge sale on rental cars. Save big on weekend and weekly rentals. See website.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. Women who consume large amounts of red meat or dairy products may increase their risk of heart disease. Investigators followed 29,000 Iowan women for 15 years. Those who ate the most steak and cheese had a 40% higher risk of dying from heart disease compared to women with the lowest intake. Those who ate the most beans, nuts, peanut butter, and tofu lowered their risk of death from heart disease by 30%.
Brush your teeth to protect your health. A new study demonstrates that people who have periodontal disease have thickened carotid arteries. There have been numerous studies linking gum disease and heart problems, but this is the first research linking specific periodontal bacteria to arterial thickening in the neck. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The usage of oil, the need for oil, and of course the worldwide oil shortage, given that it's not a renewable resource, is of course not just an American problem. The entire world uses oil, and the entire world faces that shortage. And yet we don't see the gas guzzlers, the waste of oil, in other countries, including other industrialized nations, as we do in the United States. My guest is Dr. Dan Lashoff, Science Director of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Dr. Lashoff, what is Europe and Japan, what are they doing differently from us? And is it true that they're using much less oil per person than we are?
They do use much less oil per person, and their vehicle fleets are significantly more efficient, and they also drive many fewer miles per person per year. There's a combination of factors. Certainly one thing is that they have much higher taxes on gasoline. They also have their land use patterns are different. People tend to live in more densely packed cities without the large suburban sprawl, and those cities are easier to serve with public transit, so you have much greater percentage of trips that are taken by train or bus or bicycle. Those factors in combination lead to significantly lower oil use.
Well, of course, we are a much bigger country, and we do have wide open spaces they don't have in Europe and Japan. Are we destined, therefore, to always use more oil, or are there lessons we can learn from Europe and Japan?
Well, our factors are different, and the solutions that work there may not work here, but we have plenty of options that are very good choices for America. We have the technical know-how, and in fact, many of the technologies that have been developed and applied in Japan, such as hybrid technology, was invented in the United States, but because we didn't have a commitment to reduce our oil use, it wasn't applied here first, and we've lost the lead technologically. So we really need to get back in gear and put America know-how to work to address our oil dependence problem. If we do that, we can put much better technology into our cars. We can build a rail system that really works for people. And we need to have a smart growth development pattern that builds housing in a way that is along transit corridors and is infilling back into our inner cities so that people have safe, attractive places to live that don't require them to drive the long distances that people are used to driving today.
Dr. Leshoff, I'm not a scientist as you are. Can you explain to me what exactly is a hybrid?
Okay, a hybrid car is a car that combines a regular gasoline engine with an electric motor. And the hybrids available now, you don't plug them in. You go to a filling station, just like with any other car, runs on gasoline. But what the electric motor allows you to do is to make the gasoline motor smaller and more efficient. And then when you accelerate, you get power from both the electric motor and the gasoline engine together. And then when you slow down and step on the brakes, you actually regenerate power. The brakes actually run the electric motor backwards as an electricity generator, and that electricity goes into a battery, which has much higher capacity than a standard car battery. And you store that energy, and it allows you to use it again when you step on the gas.
Let me ask you this. If we had appropriate tax incentives that would punish the gas-guzzling cars and would encourage people to buy hybrids, how much gasoline could we save? If let's say half of Americans were convinced to transfer to hybrids, what kind of magnitude are we talking about in terms of gasoline savings or oil savings?
Well, we could, with hybrids and other technology, raise the average fuel efficiency of our fleet to about 40 miles per gallon or more. That'll take a little bit of time to do because you have to retool the factory. So maybe over 10 years we could get there. That would reduce our oil consumption by more than 2.5 million barrels of oil a day. 2.5 million barrels of oil a day is what we currently import from the Middle East. So that's a big number.
But well, you're saying we could with hybrid technology and these other technologies actually wipe out our importation of oil from the Middle East?
Well, we could save that much oil. Now, whether we ended up importing it from the Middle East or not, you know, would depend on the way the market works. Saudi Arabia can produce oil for just a few dollars a barrel, so chances are that we would still end up buying some from Saudi Arabia. But by reducing our overall dependence, we would have many more options, and we wouldn't be forced to make the bad choices that we have in front of us today.
And in other words, we might not have to buy from Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Iran if we didn't want to.
That's right.
I still got Dave on the line. By the way, if you want to call in, folks, toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Dave, go right ahead.
Well, it's the key to the thing is that we do not have a government that's motivated to act in our best interest, and that's the key to it all. I mean, so much of what's coming at us out of Washington, there's a consistency about it. It is a group of sociopaths saying, to hell with the people, what's in it for us? So
there is not a way to solve the problem by appealing to them to say, this you can do to benefit the people. That's not a concern that they share, I don't think. Sounds terrible, but I'm convinced of that.
Well, Dave, I think the answer is to convince our friends and neighbors to elect people who do care about, you know, whether we are dependent on foreign oil and whether which is more important, the average American buying gasoline or oil companies. I think that maybe this government isn't listening, but certainly there are people who can listen if we elect them.
Yeah, indeed, the credible election methods would bring us honest people that would try to act on behalf of the people, not just the billionaires.
That would be a wonderful thing, and hopefully it could start happening in November 06. Thanks for your call, Dave.
Thanks,
I appreciate
both
it.
Of you guys.
Dr. Lashoff, I do want to ask you not just about hybrids, but also about other energy sources that I hear about. And again, I'm not a scientist. I hear talk about fuel cells. And one car, the owner told me, I assume it's true, I have no reason to disbelieve him, I got in a car a couple months ago that the owner told me was run entirely on soybean oil. Is that possible, or was he exaggerating?
No, absolutely, that's possible. You can make a diesel fuel from soybeans, soy oil, and most diesel cars with very minor modifications, if any, are required can run on that. So, that's one of many options that we have.
Soybeans are grown in the United States. Why aren't we having massive soybean fields? We've got Kansas, Nebraska. You know, it'd be very easy to grow soybeans, a lot easier than trucking oil from Saudi Arabia. Why hasn't this been done?
Well, it's a matter of price, and soybeans are, you know, they grow well, but you don't get that huge of a yield per acre if you're trying to make fuel out of it. So it's a question of price, and certainly when just a few years ago, it's hard to believe this, but just in 2003, oil was under $30 a barrel. You could get gasoline for, you know, a little bit over a buck a gallon, and at that price, soy diesel is not going to be competitive. But I think that the more promising source of homegrown energy is a different type of biofuel, which would allow us not to use just the grain or the seed like in soybeans, but would allow us to use the whole crop, if you will, things like switchgrass, which can be grown at a much larger yield and converted to ethanol with new technology that allows you to not just use corn, which is what we use now. You can only use the grain because that's starch that's easily fermented, but technology that would allow you to break down the rest of the plant and convert that to ethanol as well. With that technology, I think we can make a lot of fuel here, and if we have a much more efficient fleet so that we don't need to put as much fuel of whatever kind into each car, we could get rid of all of our gasoline needs in our personal transportation over the next few decades.
Now, of course, the current Republican Congress isn't focused on fuel cells or hybrids or soybean oil. They are focused on the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They say, why not take the oil that we have right now in the United States? Why not indeed? I'll be asking Dr. Lashoff that question right after the break. If you want to call in, toll-free number 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, dental.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about soaring oil prices and the recently passed Congressional Energy Bill with our guest, Dr. Dan Lashoff, the Science Director for the Natural Resources Defense Council. By the way, you can find the Natural Resources Defense Council website, but just by clicking on my website, radioinsidescoop.com, there's a link there, and you can see all the very good work that they do. Of course, Congress, the one thing that was left out of the energy bill was the part that was most controversial, drilling in ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And according to Republicans, that's the part that most needs to be there. If we want more oil, it's sitting there right under that caribou. It won't be that big of a disruption. We should just take it. It's right here in the United States. We're not dependent on foreign oil. Let's grab it. Dr. Lashoff, what's wrong with that argument?
Well, I think the fundamental question is, should there be any place on Earth that is off limits to oil exploration and production? Because if there is, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is definitely one of those places. I've had the privilege to visit it. It's a absolutely beautiful, pristine area, home to caribou and hundreds of bird species, no roads, you know, no development. And that's really the way it should stay, because were we to develop it, it would not significantly affect our energy predicament. We don't know exactly how much oil is under there, but by the best estimates, less than a year's supply. And then when that's gone, where are we? Back where we are now, and with this pristine wilderness area despoiled. So it makes no sense. It's not an energy policy. It's a policy to help the oil industry that wants to get at oil wherever they can possibly go.
Now, Dr. Lashoff, I share your view, but I often debate this issue with some Republicans, and what they say is, well, the footprint, the area where the oil machinery would take up, is about the size of Dulles Airport outside Washington, D.C. It's not that big an area. It won't displace that many caribou. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, the problem is that they take the area of all the drilling pads and the pipelines and the roads, and they pretend that would all be in one concentrated area. It won't be like Dulles Airport. It'll be spread out over millions of acres to get at the oil. So their way of measuring the effect is like measuring a golf course by adding up the area of the holes and ignoring the rest of the fairways and the greens. I mean, it just it makes no sense. There's no way you can develop oil without building an industrial maze of pipelines and roads to get the oil out.
And what is the danger? How would that harm the environment?
Well, I think industrialization of the refuge would destroy its wilderness value. It would directly harm the wildlife that's there. The caribou that live in that area go to the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge to breed every year. That's where they have their young. And the concern that biologists who've studied the caribou for their careers have is that once you start industrializing that area, they won't come, and their breeding will be disrupted, and the population will decline. So that's one of many concerns that would occur with the wildlife that depend on the Arctic Refuge. There's bird species that fly all the way from South America to go to the Arctic Refuge because it's one of the few pristine areas left where they can breed. So, you know, this is just an area that should be left as it is for wildlife, and we have much better ways to address our energy needs.
Of course, the same argument was made back about southern Alaska as well, and then, of course, a little more than 10 years ago was the Valdez oil spill. I'm curious to know, has the environment healed from that, I think it's 1992 disaster, or are there still some effects today from that?
Well, there are still some effects in Prince William Sound. It has recovered remarkably well. I mean, it's certainly much better than it was at the time that the spill happened. But, what hasn't recovered is the wilderness value there, because you still have the network of pipelines and ports for ships to come in and out, and there's always the risk of another spill.
Let me ask you a broader question, and not just dealing with Alaska, but about pollution in general. Is our use of fossil fuels, our use of oil, is it causing more pollution now? Do we have a dirtier environment than we did 20 years ago? And does the energy bill do anything to help clean the environment to make it better?
Well, for some pollutants, we are making progress. For example, we've gotten the lead out of gasoline, and that's had a huge public health benefit. We have reduced emissions of sulfur dioxide, which has reduced acid rain, although we need to make significant further cuts in sulfur dioxide emissions. The one pollutant that we emit in huge quantities from fossil fuel combustion that's totally unregulated is carbon dioxide, which is the main force in global warming. And the energy bill does nothing to address that problem. And indeed, our emissions of carbon dioxide continue to grow and will continue to grow for the foreseeable future until we put in place real limits on those emissions that are enforceable.
I'm not even sure the president concedes that global warming is a problem. Has he admitted that yet, or is he still living in a strange anti-scientific denial?
He seems to vacillate back and forth. At the G8 summit at the beginning of the summer in Gleneagles, Scotland, there was a statement issued that did seem to recognize that global warming is a problem that needs urgent attention. But the president's answer to that has been and remains that we're not actually going to require companies to do anything. We'll just rely on them voluntarily reducing their emissions, which is a policy that has demonstrably failed to work, and there's no reason to expect that would change in the future. So at times he seems to acknowledge that it's a problem, but certainly has not embraced a real solution.
Of course, those companies, if they have to have regulations, they may make less profits and they may make less contributions to the Bush-Cheney committee. As we all know, the Dick Cheney Energy Commission still hasn't told us who is on it, who is drafting our energy policy. And in the few minutes we have when we come back, I want to ask Dr. Lashoff, who is behind the energy bill? Who are these companies? Who's in control of our government? We'll be right back.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Just a few minutes left here on the Inside Scoop with my guest today. His name is Dr. Dan Lashoff. He's the science director of the Natural Resources Defense Council. You can find a link to the Natural Resources Defense Council on my website at radioinsidescoop.com under today's show. And I think at the end of the day, when you examine our misguided energy policy, when you look at this massive energy bill, which spends $14.5 billion in taxpayer money on oil companies and yet does virtually nothing to increase fuel efficiency standards, to help alternative energy sources, to decrease our dependence on foreign oil, does virtually nothing to stop the soaring gas prices or to give us an alternative way to run our cars or have public transportation, none of that, you have to ask yourself the question that my listener Dave asks, and that's, what's in it for these members of Congress? Why is it that members of Congress and the President are doing things that are demonstrably harmful to Americans, or at least most Americans who are not CEOs of major oil companies? And I think it's not a coincidence that Dick Cheney refuses to state who exactly was on the Energy Commission that helped to draft this energy bill. The case went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and that majority Republican court didn't make Dick Cheney disclose who was on his secret committee, who was writing the bill. And let's not forget that just at the beginning of the Bush presidency, you had Enron out there purposely manipulating California energy prices to make huge profits at the expense of California consumers, and the president denied it was happening at the time. So, Dr. Lashoff, my last question to you is, who is in charge here? Who are these companies? Who are these people behind the scenes that are directing our government's energy policy?
Well, Mark, if you look at the energy bill, there's no escaping the conclusion that this was written overwhelmingly to the benefit of the large energy companies, the oil companies like ExxonMobil, the large utility companies like the Southern Company, and the nuclear energy industry, Westinghouse, and their allies. So it's clear that the lobbying clout of the big energy companies had an overwhelming influence on the bill that emerged, and it helps them and does very little or nothing for the American people.
And what strikes me about all of this is how it's not even really hidden. Why is it, though, that I haven't seen, I don't know, CBS, ABC, NBC saying ExxonMobil's getting more corporate welfare? I mean, this isn't really put out in the mainstream media very much that I've seen. I very much value the work of your organization. How do we get the word out so the average American understands that the energy bill or our energy policy is just helping CEOs get richer at the expense of the rest of us?
Well, I think people just have to demand that their elected representatives represent them and not the big energy companies, and they have to call on their members of Congress to write a bill that would actually reduce our oil dependence and that would do something serious about global warming. I mean, everyone knows who's actually looked at this energy bill that it really doesn't address our energy problems. So it's passed now. It's signed into law. It's time to move on and actually do something serious.
We only have 30 seconds, Dr. Lashoff. In that 30 seconds, I want you to tell me what the Natural Resources Defense Council is doing to build a better energy policy very quickly.
Well, we're we're working with members of Congress across the political spectrum, because there are, in addition to liberals, there are some conservatives who are serious about reducing our oil dependence. We want to see Congress write a bill that would mandate real reductions in our oil consumption through improved efficiency and development of true alternative fuels. We also want to see Congress write a bill that would put real caps on the pollution that causes global warming, and that's our agenda.
Well, you do valuable work, and I'm amazed that you can even cite your agenda in 30 seconds. Again, you can find the Natural Resources Defense Council. There's a link to it on my website at RadioInsideScoop.com. Dr. Lashoff, thank you.